You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, so I promise this is new material. This is a brand new show. But a lot of the content is going to sound familiar. Dave Poulin's in here. Kawhi Leonard may or may not have been on a plane today. So we had that conversation 2 days ago. The plane flew into Toronto. There was a chopper tracking it. And then the entourage was on their way downtown, and we had to track that via the CP24 chopper. So that was what was going on 48 hours ago. We're back, I believe, in a similar territory in terms of the MLSC jet and tracking what's going on.
Same objects, airplane, helicopter, yes. Thunderstorm today.
Different weather patterns today. But effectively, we believe the same cast of characters, maybe some new cast of characters, because maybe Kawhi Leonard's family and friends are on their way up here. Maybe they're not. So that's where we stand with Kawhi Leonard. Mitch Marner and the
offer
sheet stuff.
That's the Kawhi update. That's the Kawhi update. Put that over to the side. Be patient. That's what we have.
Mitch Marner still unsigned. Tons of smoke out there. Tons of smoke. What's going to happen with Mitch Marner? Could an offer sheet be on the way?
I think time means smoke.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Why do you say that?
Because it gives other people time to sit around and think. With their respective. Now you're past, you're 5 days past July 1st. What you want to be looking for here is who really didn't like what they did on July 1st? Who's sitting there looking at their division now saying, wow, once we really calculate what everybody else in our division, if we really think we're a playoff team, we have to do something. So they can look at unrestricted free agents and who else is out there. Is a Marcus Johansson going to help? You know, there's a couple good players left out there. Or are they going to say we have to do something more major? And that may involve a trade of some sort, or it may involve looking at this elite group.
Well, that's the thing.
Of restricted free agents.
Outside of Sebastian Aho.
Maybe they'll trade with each other for their Sebastian. You know, I mean, if you think about it, last year, Calgary had a situation where they weren't in love with Dougie Hamilton. And
Carolina,
Michael Ferland was going into his UFA year, his final year. And they traded for two pretty good RFAs. Now, Noah Hanifin was exactly like these guys. He was coming out of his entry-level contract. Lars Lindholm had been bridged for 2 years, but they're both RFAs. Two RFAs got traded last year because of their cap situations.
I guess that's always a possibility, but at this point, I just feel like we've been talking about this for so long. You know, and in this city, it's all about Mitch Marner and because he plays for the team and he's from here, and there's been so many different reports about what Marner's willing to do, what he's not willing to do, what he might be looking for, where the Leafs stand in all this. But, you know, you touch on an important point. All these other big RFAs, they haven't signed either. The only one that has is Aho, but Tkachuk is still out there. I haven't heard anything out about Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary.
Timo Meier's
another one, you're right.
But that's unique. I mean, it's the coast, and he's signed, and they have a way of keeping their guys because that's a pretty good place to live and lifestyle and blah, blah, blah.
I guess so. But, you know, Tampa, the same thing. And Braden Point, by all accounts, has told everyone, don't even call me on an offer sheet because I'm not going anywhere. Yet they haven't worked out a deal.
I will tell you one thing. You say it's just because we're Toronto, it's Marner. But I was down in Philadelphia for 3 days last week with the Flyers alumni. And, you know, they had a dinner and a big golf tournament and two full courses of players. So roughly 50 alum back, maybe 60 alum, maybe more than that, maybe 70 alum. And some of them work for other teams. And guess what they want to talk to me about?
Mitch Marner in particular?
Absolutely.
But why is Mitch Marner more fascinating than anybody else?
He is.
Because of the city. It's because of the Maple Leafs.
It's not just because of the Maple Leafs. I think it's because of the player. It is.
What makes him different?
Certainly, it's partly the Maple Leafs. So it is. I understand what you're saying.
It's the Maple Leafs.
Yeah. And he could be the trigger point for what happens.
It's the classic. Like, I get it. Yeah. They're the most polarizing team in the sport. You either love them or you hate them, but either way, you're fascinated by them. I have a bunch of buddies. I'm sure you do as well. Hate the Leafs. Can't get enough of it. They're texting me all the time, what's going on with Marner? I'm like, your team has a guy they still got to work out. Like, I got a buddy, one of my oldest friends, diehard Bruin fan. He hasn't asked me one question about Charlie McAvoy's deal. Not one question. But every other...
Most people don't know he's Narvaez.
Exactly. But every other day, it's, what's up with Mitch Marner? And he even says it. He goes, God, I hate the Leafs, but I can't get enough. And it's the same thing within the sport. It's the same thing from the people inside the game. They can't get enough Maple Leaf content.
A number of these guys, like, for me to hear Pierre Dorion tell me, I listen to and watch Leafs Lunch every day. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You're in Ottawa. You're the GM of Ottawa.
Can't get enough.
But they're listening to a hockey show. And they don't have that option from 12 to 2 in their respective towns.
But they could probably find it somewhere. Like, they have sports radio.
Satellite radio.
Satellite radio is one way to go about it.
Most, I'm not quite sure anybody else has a 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock show, NHL show, dedicated to their hometown, if you're talking to Andy Petrillo, obviously, but with pretty good national guests on and a pretty good crew talking hockey.
Yeah.
And Pierre's told me a number of times in Ottawa, I'll see him and he'll say, oh, I heard you say, I'm like, that was on Leafs Lunch, I said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I listen, I love that show.
Big fan of the show. There's something about that team, man. But that's, I'm not surprised.
He went ahead and got five of the guys.
I'm not surprised Ottawa has a fascination with the Maple Leafs because of the connection to the, I mean, it's their biggest rival, the owner, Eugene Melnyk, when he's not getting yelled at Rolling Stones concerts, he's dealing with his own fans back in Ottawa, because that is a big story today that I'm sure you're familiar with.
That is
a unique story to a Friday afternoon. All right, I can't give you much on Kawhi Leonard or Mitch Marner or Aaron Sanchez, who's going to pitch tonight, and maybe it's his final start ever as a Blue Jay. We'll find out. But this story, courtesy of the Rolling Stones concert, is right up my alley. So if you're not familiar with this, Lisa McLeod, who I'm sure you've seen on the news a lot recently, she is the member of provincial parliament for the Ottawa area. Somewhere in Ottawa. And I guess technically, I guess Eugene Melnyk owns property within her jurisdiction. Because Melnyk was up at the Stones concert up in Barrie. And I guess Lisa McLeod was up at the Stones concert. And according to Melnyk, because now this has gone public through the press, and I guess the Ford government has had to comment in one way or another, this Lisa McLeod went right up to him and just blasted the guy. Called him an effing idiot and a loser, and then told him to F off as she walked away. I believe that's it. I might not have those quotes.
You may have them in the wrong order.
I might have them in the wrong order.
I believe you've got all the words right.
Right. And then she jumps on Twitter today, and she didn't dispute the report. She just said, you know, I apologize for how blunt I was, and I'm just a big Ottawa Senator fan, and I want to see this all get back on the right page. So Eugene Melnyk cannot even avoid the scorn of Senator fans when they technically are working for him or on his behalf. Like, this is a politician. He pays his taxes.
And
she
went
representing
after him.
And she went after him. Like, getting through the crowd, I think it was the Ottawa Citizen that spoke with him and detailed it. He's like, I could see her coming through the crowd. She had something going here. She was coming at me like a rocket, and she was ready to pounce. And Eugene Melnyk can't even avoid taking heat from a politician at a Rolling Stones concert. And I got to be honest, I haven't said this very often in the past 2 or 3 years. I am Team Melnyk on this. To me is a joke that a politician has the stones to go up to one of her constituents and snap like this at a concert? Are you kidding me?
She called it feedback. She said she was giving him some feedback.
Yes.
And she apologized if it was a little too direct.
I think
it's just a fan giving feedback.
I think he got the message. I get that impression.
Just
like,
a loyal fan giving feedback.
Right. I don't know, man. Listen, again, I don't sympathize for Eugene Melnyk.
Stones
very often,
went right in to start me up.
Something set her off. Something. Because that is a deeply rooted hatred for Eugene Melnyk. For you to, in public, allegedly, according to the story, again, that she does not completely refute.
No, not refute. She actually supports it. She came out with a second tweet that says, let me set the record straight. Okay? I gave at Melnick Eugene some feedback at the Rolling Stones concert, and I apologized to him for being so blunt. I have serious concerns about the state of our beloved Ottawa Senators. We need to get our team back on the road to winning the Cup.
Well, that should do it.
That's a little different than calling the owner the name she called him.
You are an effing loser. That is what Melnick is claiming. That his representative in the provincial parliament down at Queen's Park believes that he is a piece of S and an effing loser. Melnick just can't escape it, man. He just wants to enjoy the Stones. You know, it's been a tough run for Eugene.
Even better when they went. Alone. Apparently, Eugene went right to the big guy, right?
Oh,
the Premier.
Yeah, Dougie got an email pretty quickly. Yeah,
and Premier's office simply referred to her email. Yeah. So he just said,
I don't know what to
go back and look at it again.
Yeah. Essentially, like what Melnick is saying happened is exactly what happened. And, you know, I'm all for being a passionate fan. I am one myself of many different teams. I get no problem with a politician expressing their concern about their favorite team, but you can do it in a way.
Yeah, maybe not in public at a Rolling Stones concert when you burst through the crowd to get to them.
Right. It's a hero move, and it's a loser move. And
I wonder if she said, watch this, before she did it.
She was ready to party at the Stones.
A couple songs into the set, it was noted.
That's what they said. That's the best detail. It was like Tumbling Dice. I think it was the third song.
Tumbling Dice.
Yeah, she was into it. She was ready to go. The Stones had been up. It was a party.
Oh, that is too good.
She spotted Eugene Melnick and decided, I got to get my point across here. And
you know what? I cannot enjoy the Stones until I have just absolutely gotten this.
Yeah, I have to convey
I have to get this message out.
I have to give my truth, and I've got to extend it to
then
the
I'll be
himself.
Able to relax and watch the Stones.
Yeah. So, Eugene Melnick, again, everything happens in Toronto, it seems, or in the GTA. I mean, Burroughs Creek is not technically in Toronto, but remember last year when Melnick was at the Hockey Hall of Fame and gave his big speech about he'll spend when we're ready to compete and in a few years. And
so that was actually a corporate partners dinner that he holds in Toronto because a number of the national corporate partners are in Toronto.
Right.
So he was in Toronto.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, he went off that day.
I think it goes over well in Ottawa when the news comes out of Toronto. You know, the news is breaking out of Toronto all the time.
The last one that he went with direct out of Ottawa was at the outdoor game, and that was fairly spectacular.
That was outstanding theater. Yeah. I'll give Melnick credit in Ottawa. Like they're an interesting team. It's a soap opera, man. The way the fans react to them, the way the fans feel about them, I get it. I understand why people are disappointed, but
a lot of passion in that town for that team.
Yeah, there is. It's the Canadian hockey market. Of course they're going to be. And, you know, getting back to the Mitch Marner stuff, you want to really get your fan base fired up.
Oh, wow. Although I see where you're going here.
I wonder, though, because you're talking about an educated hockey market as well. This is a team that finished dead last and just handed their first overall pick or fourth overall pick to another team.
Yeah, they dodged the big one there.
They did, that they ended up fourth, and it's not Hughes or Kako.
Yeah.
Now, Byron Bowen, I think, is going to be a pretty good player. Yeah. Bowen Byron, who ended up going fourth to Colorado. But I'm not sure that people in Ottawa would actually want to see them offer sheet Mitch Marner. Because if you're handing over four first-round picks and you're dead last in the league, Mitch Marner's not going to get them an extra 20 points and put them in playoff.
Well, the complexity of the move, if it was a simple thing to offer sheet one of these RFAs, it would have been done. Now, it was done once by Montreal, and they kept within their own cap. It's almost like we're going to do this on our terms and throw a wrinkle in there that says they're going to have to match the cash.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else was on Montreal's terms. And they kept the price low. Dollar-wise, it fit in their cap structure. The price it would have cost them in terms of a first, second, and third, they kept in their structure. And it was a swing and a miss. But if it was simple, there'd be six offer sheets out there. Or seven offer sheets. This is a really, really good group of people.
Yeah.
Really good group of people. Now, the movement will be one way or another. I mean, it's either going to go in a flood where one guy signs and then it cascades, or they're all waiting.
But I thought, when Aho signed, when Myers signed, mm-hmm. There's two of the 10 guys.
Yeah, I think those are both unique, though. I really do. I think those are unique. And San Jose is San Jose. And
I hear you, but like Toronto's supposed to be Toronto. I know it's different. It's not the coast and all that, but Mitch Marner's from Toronto.
Yeah, it's
like if you want to be a Maple Leaf, don't you want to be a Maple Leaf? I mean, isn't that?
I do want to be. I do want to be a Maple Leaf.
I want to
make exactly what Austin Matthews makes.
Yes, I get it. And now this is why we keep going around in circles.
Sure.
And we're not going to spend all afternoon discussing the offer sheet stuff because I know we've been talking about it constantly.
Kawhi Leonard's plane is going around in circles at the same time Mitch Marner's contract situation is going around.
As for Kawhi Leonard, Chris Carter, who it's amazing to me that Chris Carter is always the guy we're going to. Oh, Chris has an update. But technically, he's been right. You know, he's connected. I believe he shares an agent with Kawhi, or he's got some sort of connection to the inner circle.
So my understanding is his football agent's only basketball client is Kawhi Leonard.
Yes.
And that's why the information has not been flowing, because he doesn't have the same kind of relationship with every GM around the world and every reporter.
Doesn't have any obligation to
need
them.
The relationships of reporters. He doesn't need those relationships in his life as an agent.
Yeah, and Kawhi clearly has told him, I don't want you to be seeking out those relationships.
And how shocking that a quirky player like Kawhi Leonard would have a quirky situation with an agent. Of course he does. Of course he does. He's done something different and has an agent that doesn't represent one single other basketball player.
Right.
And everybody else will tell you, you can't do that. You've got to have the comps. You've got to have the relationships with the GMs. You've got to have the relationships with the media. You've got to be able to do this. And once again, Kawhi Leonard said, no, I'm going to kind of do it exactly like I want to.
Yeah. The thing is, he's in a position now where, do you even need an agent? You're just getting the most money possible. You're getting every guarantee.
Yeah, you need a manager. You need a high, the volume of money they're talking about. You do need an agent. You need... This isn't just about...
But I guess it's a different... Like, when I think agent, I think he's the one that's in there negotiating. There's no negotiation. It's Kawhi's going to get whatever he wants, mm-hmm. and the Raptors, the Clippers, and the Lakers are going to give it to him.
So the reason he needs an agent is to tell him exactly what he wants. Is to guide him in what's available and what he can actually want.
Right.
What he can ask for.
Mm-hmm.
What he should be asking.
That makes more sense,
right.
But that's a very different approach.
It's almost like a lawyer, mentor,
yeah, exactly.
Whatever you
it's
want
a mentor.
To call it.
Because,
yeah.
Like, generally speaking, if you're a free agent, let's say you're Danny Green. Danny Green's not getting the max, so you need an agent to fight for the most you can get.
Right.
That's where it's like, I need the agent because I need him to go in there, guns blazing with Danny Green's better than this guy, and he got that. He's as good as this guy, and he got that. We want this option. We want that option. Kawhi Leonard, there's no comparable.
Yeah, but the
like agent, it's a max and that's it.
The agent part of it. The agent, I had two different agents through my time and they played a very important role in my life. You know, they were really good friends and they challenged me when I needed to be challenged. So it was much more than just the negotiation of the contract.
Right.
But the guidance at the highest level right now, trying to do this by himself? Wow.
Well, and Chris Carter, again, tweeting out, which I guess we have to accept what Chris is saying. I mean, there's not much information here, but what he said was, after looking like we would find out today, we will not. Kawhi is still undecided and is not going to finalize his decision today. Also, contrary to other reports, Kawhi is not interested in signing a 1 or 2 year deal. When he signs, it will be a long-term contract. Now, that is a significant news item, if you believe it. And this has been the problem. Who do you believe? Jalen Rose, Chris Carter, Chris Broussard. You know, everyone's got a different take. You know, The Athletic's got people that are saying things. Newspapers are saying this. TV, ESPN, FS1, whatever.
But don't you look at Chris Carter and say, essentially, this is the press secretary coming to the dais at the end of the day and saying, here's what I have to tell you today. And so it's factual. It's not conjecture. It's not speculation. It's none of those things. It's just factual exactly where we're at. That's what I'm interpreting. That, to me, sounds exactly like a message from the agent.
Right, but I'll give you the first part. Like, that would be consistent. He's not making an announcement today. That's totally harmless. Mm-hmm. I could see Kawhi being like, yeah, go ahead. Tell Chris I'm not making an announcement today. Reporting that he's not interested in a 1 or 2 year deal is a leak.
That's
a leak.
That is.
That is different. Again, if we're taking this at face value, that is different than anything we've experienced over the past week, because we have not heard a word about the money he wants, the term he wants, the team he wants, what plane he's on, what city he's in, which hotel room he's staying in. No one has any details.
So someone's made a decision.
That's a detail.
Someone's made a decision in their camp to put this out there. I don't even term it a leak. I term it a...
I mean, ultimately, it's harmless if it's true.
Right.
Like, it is harmless, but we've built up this mythical figure of Kawhi Leonard where if you scorn him by giving out any information, you must die. You know, like, that's what
it's
feels like.
Like, brilliant.
How dare you... You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I do.
It's Lou Lamoriello all over again. Like, that's kind of what's going on here. Kawhi is Lou. When Lou got here, it was absolutely nothing gets out. If anything does get out, I'll track down who it is, and you're never going to work in the industry again.
And it's amazing that you can do that when you can do that. Like, why? And your answer would be, well, because it's Lou. Why? Because it's Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's a lot to be said for the way he's handled this. It's not ideal for us. It's not ideal for anybody involved that's waiting. But if it's in his best interest.
It's his life.
His life.
It's his life. You know, we had this discussion yesterday, and I guess I couldn't find the words. Like, it felt like, is he being indecisive? Like, is he flip-flopping? But I think he's just being methodical.
Yeah, meticulous.
Meticulous. There's a difference between the two. You know, this guy, if he truly is programmed different than the average athlete, and by all accounts, that's exactly what we're talking about here. He doesn't need to give you an answer. He doesn't sleep on it.
Well, it's
There's
funny
no
because
sleeping on it. It's we're going to take it day by day, and I'll tell you when I'm going to tell you.
You think of the Jimmy Butlers of the world or the next tier of stars, they're saying, well, I got to take an opportunity when I see it that I think is really good because it might not be there 5 minutes from now.
Get on it now. It speaks to his confidence.
You got to.
Like, you talk about a confidence level that must just be at a completely different height than anything we've ever witnessed. He's got three franchises, three proud franchises. One of them, the reigning NBA champions in Toronto. The other one, the most historic brand in the history of the sport. And the other one, the Clippers are further down the road in terms of, you know, well, rap sheet and resume.
Here's what's the second part, a mega billionaire owner.
A mega billion, the richest individual owner in the sport. And they're all just waiting on you. Mm-hmm. And they all have no other option.
Well,
they've got no other option but to wait for you.
The great thing about Kawhi Leonard is, you know, you're afraid as a player that there's not going to be a seat on the bus for you, if you will. That, you know, all the seats are taken and there's not going to be a spot open, a max spot open. Well, whoever's involved, they'll buy a new bus. They buy him his own bus.
It's not going to be a problem.
It's not going to be a problem. The seats are gone on the bus. Simply not.
Bobby Marks is going to join us from ESPN in about 10 minutes. Bruce Arthur is going to be in studio at 5 p.m. So we got a lot of different people that are going to give their opinions on where we stand right now.
There's a lot of milling about right now.
Well, we're still waiting on this plane.
Oh, in the newsroom.
There is, like, Kayla Gregg. And see, Kayla's been called in. So she's been doing Jay and Dan all week.
Josh is here.
Josh is here, I believe. I don't even think Josh Lewenberg ever left. Bruce Arthur's here. I think Leo's going to be here at some point. Because, again, this plane, it all started with the plane.
The plane.
People tracking the MLSE plane that flew to San Diego and then turned right around and flew back to Toronto and is still in the air.
Jeez, you sure hope it wasn't just for regular service. Like, you hope he didn't go to L.A. for a lube oil and filter on the plane.
That'd
like,
be an all-time troll job.
Going in for regular service.
Be an all-time troll job. Because maybe that's how he escaped Toronto.
They have the best service department.
Send the plane out and then get him in a car and get him down through
Diversion.
Buffalo and flies out of, you know, or whatever
Diversion.
It is. That could
on
have
Southwest.
Been the ultimate move. Yes. He's sitting coach right now on his way to L.A.
But he was
or
in
New York.
He was in Area 1, so he gets to get on the plane first.
Oh, yeah. He gets quick access, but he's still got to wait. So Bobby Marks from ESPN will join us. We'll get his take on the latest from Kawhi Leonard and the fallout of Kawhi Leonard, either choosing the Raptors, the Lakers, or the Clippers. Where does Danny Green come into play in all this? That more coming up. Dave Pullen's in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right. Bruce Arthur will be in studio in the 5 p.m. hour. Brian Hayes, Dave Pullen. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. We think there's a plane in the air. That's what the updates have come to. Pretty sure there's a plane on its way to Toronto. We have no idea who's on it. We don't know even know where Kawhi Leonard is right now. I mean,
we don't
people
know
reporting
if he was on the plane when it went back to LA.
Exactly. And there are reports that he was spotted in Toronto last night, but who knows? So feels like we've been doing this for a while. Here's Bobby Marks from ESPN. What do you make of this whole scene, Bobby? The fact that we're tracking flights and planes, and we don't really know what's up with Kawhi, but I'm personally fascinated by it. You must be as well, I'm assuming.
Well, it depends on the personal side of it. I'm probably going to be divorced in about 3 days if this keeps on going, because I've been in Bristol since like June 9th. So
right.
And we've already had a fish die at home.
Uh-oh.
So we've got that end. The other side of it, it is fascinating because we're basically relying on tracking planes and relying on Chris Carter's tweet out.
Right.
So, which is amazing that we're relying on Chris Carter, which is tied into that camp. So I would not poo-poo what Chris Carter tweets in, because there's a connection to that Kawhi Leonard camp there. So, it's crazy that we've had, what do we have, like 100 free agents come off the board in like the first 4 days, and we haven't had a player agree since July 3rd.
Right.
And we're basically at the beckoning of Kawhi. And it's funny, guys, someone asked the question, I think L. Duncan this morning asked the question before I went to SportsCenter, what do I make of it? And I said, I honestly believe that Kawhi Leonard did not think about this the whole season. Like, basically, like, had in his mind, like, I am not thinking about free agency until July 1 starts. Where some of these other guys, like Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, probably had it in their mind maybe where they were going. But I really, like, just looking at Kawhi from the outside, I believe that, like, he probably doesn't know. And that's why we're kind of going through this process.
Well, how would you feel as the GM of the Lakers or the GM of the Clippers about the fact that Kawhi has been in Toronto for 48 hours and we believe he's still here? I mean, it wasn't a three-hour meeting and he came home, or Masai didn't fly to L.A. to meet him. The fact that he's been up here and he's in Toronto for a couple of days, how would you feel about that?
I would still put Toronto as the favorite through this all. I mean, for a couple of things. I mean, you've had him for 11 months and you just won an NBA championship and you have a lot to sell, and you were the last team in to meet with him. Right, that's pretty persuading, and no offense to the Lakers front office and the Clippers front office, but I'll take Masai Ujiri any day of the week. All right, I mean, if you're lining up for someone to sell me on what the future is going to be, it's going to be him. So, but we just don't know. I mean, we really don't until he kind of makes a decision. I think it certainly impacts all three teams. The Lakers are different because they have so many rosters, spots to fill. You know, that the Toronto is basically, well, you know, if he doesn't come back, it's trimming around the edges. Same with the Clips. So, I think the benefit of him, I would have been a little more concerned if you had to go to him, if Masai and Bobby Webster and that group had to go to LA to meet with him. But the fact that you sent a plane, well, we think we sent a plane to get him and pick him up and pick up his group to meet in Toronto. And if he's still there, I think that does say a lot.
Now, Bobby, talking about the player, I talked to a longtime NBA player, and I said, just give me a totally different perspective of what Kawhi Leonard is. And he said, you know, when he came into the league, he was a really good player, and he was a really good defender. But then, and this was a player who played mostly in the East, and said, but each time you saw him, he did something else really, really well. And he said, it was like you were watching a superstar grow. And I thought it was a really interesting way to describe a player, because most of the players come in so heralded. Yeah. He didn't, but he's grown into the superstar that he is.
Well, you're right. I mean, at San Diego State, the scouting report coming out was he couldn't make a jump shot. You know, his jump shot was broken. And I think, and you'll see him add something this summer to get even better than where he is right now. And, he was picked, what, 15th, I think, in the draft?
Yeah.
And is probably now one of the – I would say he is the best player in the NBA, ahead of LeBron and ahead of Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. I think he showed that he's not content. It's amazing that – and I think it shows that it's probably not all about the money compared to what he's turned down in San Antonio, 221. We know what Toronto could offer. We know what the Los Angeles teams can that I think a lot of it will be the selling point as far as not just this year, but what comes next as far as if I'm going to commit for 4 or 5 years here.
With Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, and that leads us back to Chris Carter, the connected Chris Carter, because the tweet he just sent out indicates that there will not be an official announcement today from Kawhi. But we finally got some information, if you choose to believe this information.
I would believe it. I really would. He's been pretty on this stuff. I mean, he really. I mean, we've got a lot of great reporters here at ESPN, and there's guys all over the place covering it. But you haven't been able to get a sniff of any of this stuff. Maybe if he decides at 6 o'clock, then we could say he was wrong. But for right now, I'm going to run with it.
Okay. So what do you make of this report from Carter that Leonard is not interested in a 1 or 2 year deal?
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, I think I think we overrate that. It's really hard if it's Toronto is going to give you 5 for $190 or the other team's 4 for $140 to turn down a blank check. And basically, Kawhi would have to do that 2 years in a row. Like, he would have to do it now. Basically, what Kevin did, he would have to do it now in Toronto if he signed, and then he'd have to do it again. Or he could just play 2 years out to get to that. It's the 10 years of service in 2021, and that's a long year. That's a long time away. I mean, there's injuries to consider. He can make $250 then, but as I said, he's already turned down a lot of money in San Antonio that he would be content taking that $190 right now. So I understand we made a big deal about it, the 2 year, the 1-1 to be a free agent in 2021. But as I said, 2 years is a long time away.
Well, and again, it's all speculation that this idea that he wouldn't want to be here for 5 years. But how do we know that? If he really wanted to be in L.A., he would have been in L.A. already, I think.
Oh, he would have already committed.
He would have already committed, exactly. And it's not that he doesn't love L.A. or Southern California. That's where he's from. He's going to spend his offseason there and the rest of his life there. But if it's a five-year monster deal in Toronto, I think that's going to burn a lot of people who just had this belief that clearly Kawhi wouldn't want to be up here for that length of time. But it's also not a guarantee that he would last the whole 5 years. I mean, in today's landscape in the NBA, these superstar players, if in 2 or 3 years Kawhi wants out, he's probably still going to get out.
Yeah, you're right. And I think what people, we're not doing a good job on is that, as I said, with Masai, I would trust Masai Ujiri to put a roster together for the next 4 or 5 years. Because I think he can. Hey, guys, I got to grab this. I'm sorry. I got a call coming.
Okay, go ahead. No problem.
I got to grab this one.
All right. There's Bobby Marks. Maybe that's someone from Kawhi Leonard.
Hey, he's got to go and grab it.
Someone from Kawhi Leonard's camp.
We were there when the story broke.
I don't know if that's ever happened. I think it's happened to me before. I think it's been our own guys. I think I've had our insiders be like, around July 1 or around the trade deadline, I got to take this call.
Yeah, we've had that for sure.
That's happened before. Usually you don't take it too well, but I'll let Bobby Marks get away with it because of what's going on right now.
Well, two things you take out of that. One, they don't know what's going on.
Right, so
they
that's don't. The thing. Who's calling him? Unless it's his wife or something, then I can understand that as well.
Well, apparently had a goldfish die, right?
Right.
So over the last couple of days. So he's had some stuff going on in his life.
All right, well, hey, man, maybe Bobby Marks is going to give us an update over the next 10
Bobby,
minutes.
Don't lose a number.
I hope. See Serge Ibaka just send out, everyone's just trolling right now. Serge Ibaka just sent out a tweet, just an emoticon or whatever. It doesn't mean anything, but everyone is speculating what it might mean. Does Serge know what's up? I think Serge is in Europe right now, so it's not like he's down in Yorkville hanging out with Kawhi, as far as I know. But fascinating times, waiting on Kawhi Leonard, a guy who doesn't ever give you anything. We're waiting on the ultimate answer. The most important answer in the history of the franchise.
He does give you something.
Well, it gives you play.
He gives you play.
Gives you a lot of play.
I love it this is a superstar. You and I have talked about it before and how liberally we throw around that term, star, superstar, generational player. Boy, this guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen.
That's interesting for Bobby Marks to call him the best player.
You just say he's the best player. Above best LeBron. Player yeah. Above Durant. Above Steph Curry. Yeah. Kawhi. That's what we're talking about here. Which, again, I think leads to the reaction from the fans, the excitement and how people, everyone's got a story about how a family member or a friend that's not even into the NBA or basketball or sports in general is reaching out and constantly trying to get an update. What's up with Kawhi Leonard? Yeah. Because of who he is and how unique this scenario is. As unique as winning a title was, this is equally as unique being in on the pursuit of the most powerful and greatest player in the world. And the idea of them coming to Toronto.
Yeah, it really is a tribute just to Masai Ujiri and what he's built here. I mean, it really is. I mean, he's a special guy. Masai is. There's no question. I mean, I thought that the first time I met him. We worked in the same offices and overlapped there. And so you saw him a lot and you had good conversations with him.
Oh, yeah.
He's a special guy.
Yeah, he's got...
But he's also looked at a bunch of different ways of doing this because there were things that didn't work out along the way that had they worked out, they wouldn't be sitting where they are.
Well, and if this is true, if Chris Carter is you know, onto something here, that we're not talking short term, which again, I'm not convinced that's the case, but we'll see, then Masai's got to be selling him on the five-year plan.
And the other question for Kawhi is, okay, you're talking to me about 4 and 5 years. How are you doing?
Yeah, you better not be taking calls in Washington
anymore.
You
better not be taking calls anywhere. Not next year, not the year after.
Yep.
If I'm staying,
that's a huge part of the commitment.
Part of the conversation.
Yeah, it's like, got to be.
You say we're keeping things intact.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if we heard shortly after an announcement, let's say Kawhi resigns with the Raptors, that we hear an extension or a reworking of the contract with Masai Ujiri.
Because if I'm Kawhi, it's a huge part of it for me.
Yeah.
Enormous part of
Well, but I would argue that they're both linked. If I'm Masai, Kawhi is a huge part of it.
Oh.
Because, you know, you've been grinding and battling to get to the top. You don't want to go back to the bottom. Not that they would. They wouldn't go all the way back to the bottom without him, but they're halfway up the mountain. And the only way they're going to get back up to the top is with an equal-leveled superstar. Mm. But if we're talking a five-year pitch, which is what we're assuming, if it's going to be a long-term deal.
The foundation's there.
Then Masai's talking about the offseason in 2 years, mm-hmm. and in 3 years, and in 4 years,
here's
and in 5 years.
Here's what I see. Here's where I'm looking. Here's what I...
Exactly.
And those are the types of plans that do go on in every office.
You'd have to.
They have to.
Yeah. You'd have to be able to...
But it's getting shorter term, Brian. You know, the five-year plan is great, and you better have it, but there's a great chance you're not going to get there. The dynamics of what's changing... How these rules are changing around the various salary caps in the yep. leagues and, you know, potential of a work stoppages, whatever that may be. It's a shorter term operation right now. Even if you look at the contract signed on the 1st of July, man, there were a lot of 1 and 2 year deals. A lot of 1 and 2 year deals.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys that used to get 4 and 5 and 6 year deals. And I, you know what? Call it the Vegas factor, call it what you will. An NHL franchise was awarded. And they built a hockey team in a year.
In 1 year.
In 1 year. With spare parts.
And to add to that, a year later, they're in cap hell.
They are.
Like,
they'll get out of that.
They'll figure it out. But
they're choosing what they want to do with that.
Still.
Yeah.
They've been around for 2 years, and they're over the cap.
See, I like being in that kind of cap hell because they're going to... They're going to move the players they want to move.
Yeah.
And bring young assets back in draft picks or whatever. That's a different type of cap hell.
They're still going to be a very good team.
They've got the players signed they want to sign.
Yes.
Now they will move players out.
But the reality is they're over the cap.
Right.
Like, that's just a fact.
So there's a new model.
They've
build
been around
a team,
for
2 years.
Blow
it up. Build a team, blow it up. Build a team, blow it up.
Yep. And now they're committed. Like, they're committed to Stone and Pacioretty yep. and Stastny and Carlson. Like, that's their team.
See, I
And
I guess I have to look to see what the no-move situations are for Pacioretty or Stastny, but I could see them moving one of those fairly...
That would be an... there'd be value in that.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
For sure. Bruce Arthur will join us in Studio at 5. There's an update on Marcus Stroman. We'll tell you about that next. All right, Bruce Arthur will be in studio in the next hour. Brian Hayes, Dave Poulin in here. So Charlie Montoyo speaking down at the park and says that Marcus Stroman's pec cramp... You ever have a pec cramp? Yeah, pecs?
Maybe I have during a set of bench press, but it immediately went away, and I did the next set.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you found a way to...
I fought through it.
Fight through a pec cramp. Yeah. I don't think I've had a pec cramp.
I think he's revisited the cramp and said maybe it was more than a cramp.
Okay. It has not gotten any better.
Because I thought I was going to see the Stro pitch last night.
The Stro show not in the cards for you. You were down at the park last night.
A little sour.
What a game you caught.
A little sour. Down at the park last night. Stro show, didn't show. And then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to get to see Vladdy at least.
Yep. That's a no guy.
No, he wasn't in the lineup either, so I was a little sour.
I mean, it turned into a wild night.
Well, we were sitting watching it. Jays were up 6-1, and I had three friends from Notre Dame there. And they said, so what's up with the Jays? You know, they're looking around the crowd, and it's not a good crowd. I don't, 20,000 maybe, you know, in that stadium, looking pretty empty. Jays are winning 6-1. There's not a lot of zip. There's not a lot. And I said, well, here's what's going to happen. The Red Sox are going to come back here, and all of a sudden they get two guys in, on base. And these two guys are looking at me going, now, oh, wait a second here. And I said, now, Martinez hits a home run here. Now, he didn't. He got a hit. 5 minutes later, it's 7-6, and they're looking at me going, wow, you're good. I said, yeah, I'm a hockey analyst.
You're just
what I do.
You're a personality, man. You're
I was a little
guy.
Sour. I used to go to a lot of baseball games. I was close with Alex Anthopoulos and went to a lot of games. And we went back and forth on a lot of different things, control of players, contracts, entry level. I went to the draft with him one night, Major League Baseball draft. And so I'm a little sour at the Jays overall. I am.
Well, it could be
a little
worse.
Bit if it's personal. But
you could be going tonight. Like, Baltimore's in town tonight. So,
but like I'm going to see the Red Sox on July 4th.
Right.
And I'm thinking this is going to be great. There's going to be 40,000 people here. It'll be great.
You realize that's an American celebration.
I thought 20,000 of the people were going to be from Boston.
Yes. Well, that's true. I guess they could have come up.
There was, you know, if there
a lot of Boston people traveled to the Dome.
If there were 21,000 people there last night, there were a lot of Boston fans. I mean, they scored the first run. It was like, the crowd, you know, was pretty good and at that point. It was like,
those are like, that is a nostalgic vibe, because I can remember going down to the Dome year after year after year when they were in that 20-year
Yankees or Red Sox.
And I'd always try to get down there with the Yankees or the Sox because there would be a buzz in the stadium. And it was always, if it was Yankee fans, they're flying up from, you know, Western New York, Buffalo, some of them flying up from New York. Boston fans, they'll travel up from New England.
I actually bumped into a college coach who's a Boston fan. And he was there with his wife, and she was fully decked out in Pedroia stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, you know, it's a lot cheaper for us to come to a game up here than it is to go to Fenway.
Well, it's the opposite of the Maple Leafs, right? Like the Leafs, that's whatever. I'll fly down to this. I'll go down to Buffalo and watch a game.
Exactly.
A lot cheaper than or go to Detroit or whatever.
Exactly.
It's the same thing. Like Fenway, it gets expensive if you go down there, clearly.
Danny Jansen did hit two home runs last night.
Oh, he's coming around. He's on
positive.
A heater right now.
Biggio, obviously, I got to be a big Biggio guy. He's a Notre Dame kid, second baseman.
So, anyway, as for Marcus Stroman, he's not going to pitch over the weekend, and they're not quite certain what's going to happen with him at the All-Star game yet.
Well, he'll go.
But he can't pitch.
He can't pitch. They can control that, actually. There's a way they can control that by putting him on IR, backdated.
Or they call
so
up the
available.
Manager. They call up the guy who
say, don't you dare put him in.
Don't put him in. And they'll respect that.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like that. Because he's going to want to be down there. If you know Marcus Stroman, you know he wants to be down there.
Oh, he's
so
going.
He's going to be a part of the All-Star festivities. But anyway, Bruce Arthur's going to join us in studio. I think Bruce is coming in for a couple of hours. So we got Bruce kicking around. And
there are a lot of Raptors people floating around this studio right now, buddy.
This has been going on for days, Pooley. I've been in here all week. And when that plane landed on Wednesday, they started calling people in.
A lot of talent.
And yesterday they were calling people in. And now today they're calling people in. And as of now, there's no update on Kawhi Leonard. So we'll try to get to the bottom of it. And we'll get Bruce in here. We'll get his take on Leonard, Marner, politicians yelling at sports owners. There's a lot going on in the sports world. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.